Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. No one's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast, a brave new podcast with Super Chats back in, but not as many Super Chats as there were before. We're going to keep it to an hour overall of main show and Super Chats, and then of course 10 minutes either side of the podcast intro and outro, so it's not a prohibitively long, lengthy discussion for you fine folk, considering this can be between 5 and 6 times a week. And I'm Ollie Davis, and I'm joined, hopefully, by a voice that can get through a longer show again.
This next hour and a half or so.
Luke Owen!
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm doing fine. And going by your sort of the tone, the nasal qualities of your voice.
Yes.
You also sound fine.
Yes. I am not massively well currently. You sent me home yesterday.
Geez, he's playing that up. This is the first time he's coughed since I've seen him.
You sent me home yesterday.
Mm. Yeah, well, I was sick of the sight of you.
Yeah.
It wasn't to do with me being a nice person.
Yeah,
you're welling up.
Yeah, it's because the cough gets me sometimes. It's like it's a really chesty cough.
Oh my God.
But yeah, like, so you sent me home yesterday. I was on the tube and I was shivering and sweating. I was too hot and too cold all at the same time.
Mm.
I stumbled home. I got in and my wife was, luck enough, was there because she's also not very well at the moment. And she saw the state of me and was like, oh my God, what's happened?
Yeah.
And so she helped me get into bed and she made me a lem sip, and she kind of sort of like tucked me in, put a little podcast on, and I fell asleep.
Yeah.
Just passed out.
You see, I take, pass out has a different word, it means something different to me.
Okay.
I think you fell asleep because you were tired and ill.
Yes.
Passing out to me is like,
I passed out.
You passed out.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, at one point, there was no in-between phase. Like, there was one point when I was awake and then I was flat out.
Mm.
It was, yeah, it was something to behold.
Wow.
Yeah. But I'm feeling better now.
Still, but
I'm feeling better than I was yesterday. I didn't sleep particularly great
it's
last
all relative.
Night. Yeah, because I was waking up every, like, half an hour or so with more chesty coughs and splutterings. And because I don't want to disturb my wife sleeping next to me, and so I'm trying to cough quietly.
Mm.
Which I think is just making it worse.
Yeah.
And then it just gets louder and louder and louder. And then at one point I was like, I think I might have to just go sleep in the other room because I am just disturbing your sleep. But she told me not to.
Mm. If anything, she should sleep in the other room because you are, I mean, I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. We have a thing in my household where, you know, because it's not always plain sailing. Sometimes one of us is stressed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes one of us is ill. At the moment, my lady partner is also ill. Seems like she's got the same bug as you have.
Indeed.
So when that happens, one of us gets to be the house baby.
Yeah.
Well, the other person just has to do everything for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that, and that, I mean, I didn't go and sleep in the lounge last night, but I've, you know, I've been getting cups of tea, running baths.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And my wife has been doing that for me as well. She made dinner last night while I sort of sat on the sofa just trying to recover, watching the Ghostbusters trailer over and over again.
Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a great trailer.
So two trailers came out in the last 2 days. There Indeed. Was the Wonder Woman 1984, mm-hmm. which I think that's the death knell for 80s nostalgia for me now.
Yeah.
I think, all right, I'm over it now.
Yeah.
I really like the trailer. I really like what's the song they use?
It's New Order.
That's it.
And it's the New Order track that I think really makes it. The How Does It Feel?
But yeah, slightly... like varied version, and yeah. and also just like the look of the film, the production design, everything. But I was like, I'm enjoying this. But when DC and Warner Brothers capitalize on 80s nostalgia, that means 80s nostalgia is no longer cool.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. A couple of years behind the curve, yeah. Warner Brothers.
So we're definitely entering the 90s revamp, I think. But we're gonna have a few greenlit movies from about 3 years ago. Slowly making their way into cinemas next year. Wonder Woman's obviously one of them. But yeah, Ghostbusters 3 Afterlife mm-hmm. is the other one. So you had Ghostbusters 1 and 2 in the 80s.
Yep.
And then, you know...
The 2016 one.
The remake. The other one.
Yeah.
And now we've
or
got...
Reboot.
Now we're back to the original continuity.
Yes.
Or is Ghostbusters Lady style... Is that in continuity, but in another dimension?
Well, I mean, you can certainly say it's in another dimension, but it's certainly not within continuity because the original Ghostbusters appear in the 2016 version as different characters, and there's never any reference to the fact that there were originally Ghostbusters in the 1980s in New York, which is where the film is set, despite the fact that the first trailer released, did make it sound like it was a sequel. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it's like, almost like it didn't know what it was.
That's exactly it. It was a very mixed, like, because Sony... wanted a sequel, Paul Feig wanted to do a reboot, and never the two really combined together. So what we got was a bit of a mess.
A seagull.
Yeah, it was a mess that I don't think anyone was particularly pleased with by the end.
A recall.
And it reeked of something, I can say that much, because it wasn't very funny.
No.
I think it was a mess of Sony wanted to do one thing, Feig wanted to do another thing, the cast not being happy on set, and it was just... pretty bad.
I think that movie also had a lot of people going, Chris Hemsworth, you're so funny.
Oh yeah, yeah.
When actually he is funny, but not amazingly funny enough to build that kind of role around him.
Absolutely not.
But he is very attractive.
He's very, very attractive.
And I
yes.
think that I mean I would, if I was a director, I would say, all right, I cannot be in the same room as Hemsworth. I'm gonna direct through an earpiece. Because I reckon as soon as he's there and he's smiling at you, you're like, just do what you want, man.
Yeah.
Can I touch your arms? But yes, yeah, so Ghostbusters 3, I said to my lady partner, come on, let's watch the trailer because I want to see what this is all about. And she was like, oh, God, do we have to? I'm house baby. Why are you making me do this? And I was like, and I didn't know Paul Rudd was in it.
Oh, really?
So the trailer loaded up. Paul Rudd's there on the thumbnail. She's like, oh, already now she's interested. We watched it and... it was just, I had no idea what the plot would be. But by the end of it, I was just left thinking, apart from slapping a Ghostbusters name and some toys on it,
mm-hmm.
it feels rather pointless. But you are deep in the Ghostbusters lore. I'm ready to be corrected.
Well, okay, so Ash, a friend of mine, and I have a theory about the film. So we think that the plot of the movie is going to be that Egon moved out to this sort of rural area to build a giant containment unit. That's like that mine area where sort of the activity is coming out of. Mm. It's even called Shandor, which was the name of the Evo Shandor was the guy who created the original Spook Central building in the first movie. And I think that he's named it after Shandor because he's used the same sort of conductive materials to keep all of the ghosts trapped down there, and then these ghosts escape. I, you know, if you were to say, is there any point to the movie? Probably not, because it's been, 30 years since Ghostbusters 2?
But only 3-4 years since Ghostbusters Lady.
True, yes, but this is a sequel as opposed to a reboot. As I said, I think the biggest mistake that movie made was being a reboot. If it had been a sequel set within that universe, because that's what everyone was after at the time, I think it would have fared much better. But it was a straight reboot that just every 5 minutes had to go, hey, do you remember the original movie? Hey, do you remember that thing from the original movie? Hey, what about that time from the original movie, hey? Whereas this one can just be a sequel. Granted, there will still be those nostalgia-based points. But I'm kind of into it. And the trailer worked for me. I kind of got, you know, not teary and emotional, but I did start to get a bit like super excited when they go and they find sort of, you know, the suits and the pack and, you know, they uncover X-01 and stuff. I was like, all right, I'm kind of in for this. I'm kind of in for this new adventure in the Ghostbusters universe.
Did you get Finn Wolf hard over it?
Good punnage, mate.
Thank you.
Good punnage. I'm more into the girl that plays Egon's granddaughter. I think she looks really, really cool. So I'm really into her story. And Paul Rudd as well, obviously.
Let's get on with the main show because we've got to... We're trying out a few new things on today's episode. A lot of people would probably advise us against trying that many new different things on one show.
I'd be one of them.
But we're going to do it.
Yep. Apparently we are going to do it. But anyway, here is the show. We're going to be talking about Seth Rollins officially 100% is now a heel. Confirmed. Revealed. Here's the show.
Luke, he was already a heel. He's been a heel since he started tweeting. How dare you, WrestleTalk?
Actually turned heel on last night's episode of Raw. This has been brewing, well, since the summer on Twitter.
Yes, on Twitter, but not intentionally.
In WWE terms, it's only been brewing the night after Survivor Series, where Seth turns up. He has a rah-rah speech in front of the locker room, sort of blames them for Team Raw losing so significantly.
You say sort of, but that's exactly what he did. He blamed Raw for losing.
Yeah, he totally blamed Raw. And then there was a tease that he was working with AOP because AOP kept sort of just taking out Kevin Owens.
That's it, yeah. It's crazy to think this has been a two-week storyline. Because Survivor Series has only, you know, really come to an end a couple of weeks ago. And on that show was where we had the AOP thing. Then last week was where it was, hey, is Seth working with AOP? And then this week was like, yeah, he totally is.
Yeah. It's a three-episode, but really two-week storyline.
It's a hashtag
three-week
push.
There's a lot of mileage in here. Yeah, and that's where I was mostly down on this, apart from the actual nature of the reveal. I was really into this storyline over the last two Mondays because I thought it had a lot of mileage. But they have, and I said this in my review earlier, they have both undermined and hot-shotted at the same time.
Yeah, totally. Like, I was thinking about this. Like, there's a very easy way to have done this storyline and had really didn't have to change a lot about it to have had that heel turn have more impact. And that would have just been not have Seth do that speech, not be dressed all in black in his black leather jacket, not have him essentially be a heel for the last 2 weeks and then be like, by the way, I'm a heel now. And just have it as that you play up the ambiguity of, is he working with AOP? Is AOP working with him? And lead a lot of fans to speculate on that fact, as opposed to us going like, yeah, no, we're all pretty sure he is. And then, yeah, maybe have Owens and Seth versus AOP at TLC. You could have had the heel turn there, saved it for, you know, the Rumble or something like that. But really tease this out as opposed to, as you say, hotshot it.
Yeah, what one of the... I keep thinking about CM Punk's heel turn against Jeff Hardy, I want to say 2009. It was really, really good. And that's because he told that story, well, at least in my mind, he told that story over like 2 months where he was like, you know, first he was blaming injuries for not facing him and stuff like that. I bet if I went back, that was probably three episodes of SmackDown.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's quickly run through what actually happened on this episode. Kevin Owens is sort of blaming Seth Rollins and AOP working together. No reference to how Kevin Owens was effectively kidnapped last week.
No, he said that he was kidnapped last week, but luckily he escaped. And that was it.
Bad storytelling. And then Owens goes hunting for AOP, like a sort of children's book. is how this is structured. He bumps into Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio gives him the bat.
Yeah, take this. You will need this.
Yeah. And then he asks Mojo Rawley.
It's dangerous out there.
Where the where AOP might be. And Mojo Rawley's like, this way? No, it was this way. Psych.
Yeah.
And Kevin Owens slapped him. And then this sort of materialized in Kevin Owens. Well, Seth was in the ring interrupting a Street Profits respect angle.
Yeah, and again, this is just like, you can't really sort of pretend that Seth wasn't a heel when he's doing things like this and then expect us to react when he does turn heel or when he, quote, turns heel.
Yeah, there was no intrigue there. Like, if you had another chapter of where Seth is actually doing babyface things, you're like, oh, maybe it's okay then.
Yeah.
But yeah, Seth comes down and says, let's team together against AOP KO. And KO says no, because he's a smart babyface, which I really like.
I really like that.
And then Seth walks off, says, fine, I'm leaving then. I think they were meant to give the impression that he was leaving completely.
Mm. But, well, leaving the building. Yeah. I never got that impression. I just got that he was, I'm off. I'm not going to be in the ring with you because you're acting like a jerk.
And weirdly, we'll get to this later when we do the full breakdown. Sami Zayn turns up with Mojo Rawley.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like...
SmackDown Sami Zayn has a brief altercation with Kevin Owens.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where like when you look back on Raw, you're like, oh yeah, Sami Zayn is now the manager of Mojo Rawley.
Mm. Yeah. Weird 2019, folks.
Yeah.
I can't wait to add that to our storylines that were dropped list. And then Kevin Owens, he's been searching all night, finds AOP's car, their SUV thing, and he starts hammering on it with the bat that didn't beat Brock Lesnar.
The lead pipe.
Mm-hmm. And he gets to the back and he opens the door. And initially, it looks like it's empty.
Yeah. I thought it was actually shot to look like it was. I thought it was empty.
Yeah.
And I thought that was to be the big reveal. I was like, oh, it's empty. Whereas I was like, yeah, of course it's empty.
Yeah. But then AOP start beating Rollins down.
Owens.
Owens down. Good point. That would have been intrigue, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would have thrown us off the scent. And then while Kevin Owens is being beaten up, the chair, and this is a pretty specialized thing, right?
Yeah, the camera pans back to the SUV. And yeah, the chair swivels around like the swivel chairs that we are in for this. But in a car. And it swivels around to be just like, ah, Mr. Bond, I've been expecting you.
Do you think it's the same sort of chair in Ecto 1 in the trailer? And it comes out the side, the gun turret one?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's that cool, but
no.
Who knows?
Well, that's, I mean, Finn of Seth Rollins' gimmick. This was not cool.
Yeah. Okay. So it turns around to be the big, and it's a guy in a hoodie, and he has the hood down. And then he lifts the hoodie up to reveal it's Seth Rollins. Now, the only way this reveal works is if it's not Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Because...
Or if it's someone else. Yeah. Luke's a bit ill.
Sorry. What we've done for the last 3 weeks is be like, Seth's working with AOP. Seth's working with AOP. And the big reveal is Seth was working with AOP. Yeah, and then we're like,
completely caught
and
me by
be
surprise.
Surprised.
Yeah, so and the crowd reacted in kind. Mm. Did you hear them? They went, oh.
Yeah. That's pretty much what I figured, yeah.
That was this. You know, this is meant to be a really big plot point.
Yeah.
The confirmation of a heel turn and the crowd, which were an awful crowd all night.
Yeah.
They go,
oh, yeah. Okay, cool. I mean, yeah, it's pretty much what I was expecting. But if it was like, you know, if it had been John Morrison, people would be like, whoa, well, I didn't see that coming.
Someone commented on my video earlier that it should have been CM Punk. And I thought that would have made so much sense.
Yeah.
And would have been huge. I wouldn't have wanted it to happen, yeah. But wow.
I saw someone last week say on our video that they think that Samoa Joe's the mastermind, which I thought would have also been really, really cool.
I actually thought it was going to be Sami Zayn.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't think it would have been... Because, like, he, you know, just weirdly appeared in the segment earlier with Owens.
Actually, yeah, that would have been... And he has now got a managerial license for Raw, which he could have been AOP's new manager, their third manager.
Jeez. Yeah, is Seth Rollins their manager now?
No, they're more of a faction.
Anyway, Seth does do a cool sort of, I'm sorry, Kevin.
Kev.
And stomps him on the concrete. And then he comes out to the live crowd and cuts a promo on... us fans.
You fans.
And in this case, it works. Yeah. It totally works, because that I thought this was the exact right character motivation for his heel turn.
Becky's promo last year when she did the you fans promo fell flat on its ass because the fans had been 100% behind Becky Lynch as a babyface. But since Hell in a Cell, this crowd, this WWE crowd, has not been into Rollins.
But interestingly, Rollins pointed out that he was not with AOP all this time.
Yeah, he just, yeah.
It was the crowd's reaction over the last couple of weeks that made him finally decide to team with AOP. So that literally just happened in the last week, yeah. In his, if we are to believe him. So, yeah, that's the... And KO stretched off backstage. I thought...
They were struggling to get that stretcher
yeah, it was awkward, wasn't it? I thought Braun Strowman was going to run. I'm not finished with you! Tip over the whole ambulance.
But I thought Seth got a really good promo here. I really liked Seth's promo. I've seen a few people say it's a Bret Hart promo. I was like, whoa, let's pump the brakes there ever so slightly. This is not Bret Hart in 97.
Well, what I'm worried about is that the Wrestling Observer are reporting that is the mindset in WWE.
Really?
They see Seth as a Bret Hart character, which if you're not familiar with that, is the period of time when Bret was a babyface in Canada. And he saw himself as a babyface, but he was a massive heel everywhere else.
Yeah.
If that's how they're booking this, I think it's going to quite fundamentally unravel, because that's the wrong starting point.
Well, I was going to say, because the question is, where's he a face?
Yeah.
Like, it works with Bret because Bret was so beloved in Canada and around the world, just not in America. So it worked when he was getting nuclear heat in Detroit, and then they would go to Toronto and he'd be treated like, you know, the second coming of Jesus. So, but with Seth, he's just not liked anywhere. So you can't really get the babyface reaction anywhere.
Yeah, it won't work if they go in with that mindset. Now, I know what you're probably thinking. You're probably thinking, wow, what a cliffhanger to end your show on. That happened in the second hour.
Yeah. And this was a show that felt both like so long and yet somehow ran out of time.
Yeah. Well, that we'll come on to the botched ending. There was quite an obvious reason for that, and I feel quite sympathetic to them for it.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So thank you to our $25 a month or more pledge hammers on Patreon. I think he's talking to you. Damian Thompson.
Lovely stuff, whoa. Yeah. The monster among Patreons, Brian Strowman.
Whoa. Stream Slayer.
Nice.
Yeah, I want that to come back now he's here.
So handsome, he makes all the boys Joe Ellis.
Yeah,
yes.
Come on. Shaun of the Dead Peril.
Great movie, mate. Great movie. We're all going on a Brian Huntsley.
Yeah. Robin Banks. Lee Roberts.
Oh, you dastardly heel. He can last Shaun Fur longer than you in the ring.
Yeah. Rebel Without a Crew, Robert Rodriguez.
Great book, yes. Great filmmaker. Float Like a Butterfly, Samed Ali.
We've met that guy, Duncan.
Just Duncan. Yes. And lastly, Ryan Bebad.
Well, thank you very much. Please, if you want your own shout-outs on this show, go over to WrestleTalk's Patreon page, and you can see all the lovely exclusive stuff we've got there. But let's see what your super chats have to say. That's right, it's a super chat party to see your thoughts on what's going on. So The Brock says, can't wait to see the architectural experience in action. Architectural experience.
Oof, no thanks. No thanks.
Side note, did y'all see Knives Out? What did you think of so?
I've not seen it yet, no. I was going to go see it last weekend, but I was too hungover.
I'm seeing it tomorrow, actually, after work. But go and watch Laurie and Simon's review on ScreenStalker. Well, they did a review of it. Des Angomas says, Seth and the AOP equals S.H.I.E.L.D. 2.0.
I don't quite see it, other than the fact they all wear, well, AOP used to wear flak jackets, but they don't anymore.
I kind of miss that. They're there with suits. It's such like a Triple H vision for a heel main event act.
I much prefer the suits, though.
You gotta wear suits.
Yeah.
But I think I see the comparisons, and I almost hope WWE lean into that. Like, Seth can say, look, I created... Like, misunderstanding why the Shield was successful.
Mm-hmm.
In Seth's heel mind, he thinks the Shield was successful because of him. Not because of all three guys. So he's like, well, I can just make a new Shield.
Yeah.
Because I am Seth.
I did it with Kurt Angle, and it was fine. And actually, I'm really, really excited to see heel Seth back. I loved 2015 heel Seth. I thought he was so good. So I'm really excited to see what we can do with this in 2019, 2020.
I'll just read through a few more before we get on with the full review. Jobber JJ496, Super Chat Party is back. Miss talking to you guys.
Oh, we've missed talking to all of you. That's why we thought we'd bring them back. So I actually did miss Super Chats.
Yeah, I thought I'd miss the money most. And I did, actually. But then a distant second was interacting with the fans.
Absolutely.
Matthew Scheel, what is the plan for next plan for supporting the indies? We're going to probably do another WrestleTalk scholarship next year, hopefully. Metal Bear, I'm glad Super Chats are back. For me, the interaction with your community is what set you apart from the bunch. Also, it's good to be back to have a lovely time with the boys.
Lovely time with the boys.
Much love, lads. And as always, great work. And do two more. Venom Kitsetsu, staying awake after work with a huge mimosa.
Wow.
Day drinking with the boys.
Hashtag day drinking with the boys.
Luke, get better soon, man. Oh, well, under the weather.
Thank you very much, Venom. I've been a big brave boy today to come in to do this.
I'll just get to the community post tab poll that we put up earlier, just to give everyone else's thoughts on the episode. So Raw got average, so the middle of the road.
Three
rating,
out of five.
55%.
An average show. Okay. Yeah. I can see that.
Slightly skewed, a bit higher. 16% of the vote went for core, which is 4 out of 5, but 14% went with poor, 2 out of 5.
Okay. So it's in that sort of like 2 to 4 range.
I was definitely leaning more towards poor. Overall, I gave it a low average just because... Yeah. I love Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, and I thought, as I said, I thought the Seth turning heel is a good thing. It could have been a way better angle, but I'm excited to see where it goes from there. But I think I'm also in that sort of low average range.
And it's crazy that more people weren't actually higher on this, because what a corking opening segment.
Okay, so I might be...
I'm being sarcastic before you carry on.
Well, I was going to say, I might be the only person in the room here, but I really enjoyed this segment.
So it opened with Lana and Rusev officially getting a divorce, presided over by Jerry Lawler.
Well, he knows divorces.
He's had 3.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure at this point he is an official person to sign off divorces.
I checked the figure for my script to make sure it was 3, and he hasn't been divorced since 2002.
Wow.
So I think he's a bit rusty.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was just bad officiating of a divorce.
Yeah.
Lana came down with... oh, by the way, the show started off with loads of pyro.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Lovely stuff.
And in the tiniest LED screen in the corner, you could see TLC this Sunday.
Yeah.
I thought that is... That image, for me, summed up their selling of this pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah. They and I don't think they particularly care about TLC coming this Sunday. But actually, you know, at least we got some matches announced for it.
Yeah.
We've got half a card now.
I bet they're saying, come on, Heyman, we need to announce more than one match. He's like, no!
It worked fine when I did it for December to Dismember.
So the first segment, which went on for a while-ish?
About half an hour, yeah.
Was Lana coming down, and most of it was Lana screaming, yeah. Which I actually quite enjoyed. Lana came down, that came off pervy. Lana came down with a lawyer, but Rusev, he settles his issues like a man. He doesn't hide behind a solicitor.
Nope, he just comes down to the ring. Crowd super into him, chanting Rusev Day, and he is wearing a wonderful Donald Duck t-shirt. Mm. And maybe this is why I love this segment so much. I thought the Rusev style was amazing.
Yeah, it was a Donald Duck t-shirt, but... under a suit,
yeah.
With white trainers.
Oh, what a great, what a stylish man. Yeah. I did think, though, do you remember the Rusev mustache? And that just quickly disappeared. Do you think it's a Vince thing? Because Bobby Roode had a one-week mustache as well, and then that stopped getting a push. And then Rusev had a one-week mustache. Do you think it was just Vince like, I don't like the mustache.
Yeah.
You grow a full beard or nothing else.
It's a real shame, because I love a mustache.
Me too.
But apparently only men love mustaches. I asked my lady partner's friends who were over on Saturday. They were so shrill. Whether they like mustaches. And they were like, no. And I said, what about Tom Selleck?
Yeah.
And they said, he's the only one.
Oh, right. He's the only one who can
pull only person.
Interesting.
So Rusev did not take his divorce proceedings seriously.
Oh, no, he did not.
And that just infuriated Lana more. I thought she cut a really good promo.
Mm.
Like several really good promos. And even if you didn't like it and it didn't work to your tastes, you can at least acknowledge that the crowd were into it.
That's exactly it. It's what we said last week. To melt to this situation, the crowd are so into this story. And when you look at the little reaction that Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy and Andrade and Umberto were getting, this is working. This is getting over with the crowd on a weekly and consistent basis.
Yeah. And So it was kind of working towards Rusev's tease, and I'm going to sign the contract. And it probably did go a bit long. It was a bit rambly at points where they kept on going back and forth over, well, who's going to get the dog?
Yeah.
Like, that would have worked if you introduced the possibility of a dog 4 weeks ago.
And this was just a lot of Lana screaming and screeching. And it was like, it's annoying to listen to, but that was the point that it was annoying to listen to, because she is the heel.
So Rusev says, well, let's sign, like he was completely baby facing up. Let's sign the divorce papers, said Rusev Day a bunch of times.
He did, yeah. I also liked as well, because I feel like Rusev is kind of making fun of this angle every now and again, where he was just like, hey, guys, I made a video package. Let's watch the video package.
It is. I think that's where my enjoyment's coming in. And that's Rusev knows how bad this storyline is. And I'm living vicariously through him of... Yeah, we're all experiencing a crap angle in real time. It's like one of the members of Mystery Science Theater 3000 got into the film.
Yeah.
And we're all laughing with them.
It's I've got to think that Rusev's not sticking around. And he's now in the Batista, I'm leaving, so I just don't care anymore. And that was when Batista was at his most interesting.
Yeah, well, that's what I had assumed as well. But then Lana's re-signed a five-year deal.
Well, you'd got to think, though, if Rusev was signing that deal, he would have signed at the same time.
That's a good point, actually. The report is that Rusev is meant to come out of this storyline looking like a mega babyface.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, I don't know.
I don't know. Dean Ambrose was pushed as a mega babyface at the end of his contract run.
So Rusev says, I'll only sign the papers if I get a fight with Bobby Lashley at TLC.
Yep.
And Lashley comes down. Lashley says, I'm going to marry Lana.
I'm going to propose to her, yeah.
I'm going to propose to her when you leave, or when I beat when the divorce goes through.
Yeah, when the divorce goes through, I'm going to propose to Lashley. Propose to Lana. I'm sure he'd love to propose to Lashley. Mm-hmm. And Rusev tells, go ahead. She's not good.
But then Rusev, quite ingeniously, to set up what would become a tables match,
yep.
Put Bobby Lashley through the table that they were that they were signing the divorce papers on.
I've written here, that was a fun segment. Mm. I appeared to be the only... Andy Datsun was shocked when I said that I enjoyed this segment.
I think me and you... Look, I've given up on this storyline.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
As has Rusev. And I think I'm on the same level as him. So if you've already gotten over the fact that it's all going to be terrible, anything is going to be a bit of a plus.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why we enjoyed it. After that, we got the Charlie Caruso stuff with Kevin Owens backstage. That's where he got the bat.
From Mysterio, yeah.
It's like when I
the get lead the... pipe. We keep calling it a bat, but
sorry,
it's a lead pipe.
It's a lead pipe. It's like in Zelda.
Exactly,
when you
yeah.
get a different weapon
that's it,
to
yeah.
level up.
It's dangerous out there.
And then we got Matt Hardy coming out.
Yeah. I mean, I've written here, this appears to be the new trend for Raw. Mm. It's just a series of squash matches.
Well, Dave Meltzer explained it quite well, I think. You know who Paul Heyman likes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they get to win these little squash matches week to week. So it's Buddy Murphy, it's Aleister Black, it's Drew McIntyre, it's Andrade.
Yeah. But they're not leading to anything.
No, that's the problem, yeah.
Yeah. And like Drew beating Matt Hardy or beating Akira Tozawa or beating whoever it is next week is not leading anywhere. Mm. Like he started a feud with Randy Orton last week, but Randy's in a feud with AJ. And Randy doesn't seem to care that Drew's got a problem with him. So it's not like none of it's doing anything.
Yeah.
It's the Viking Raiders deal. Viking Raiders have been squashing people since they came up after WrestleMania, but they've not done anything. They've won the belts and have not done anything.
Matt Hardy, meanwhile, hasn't done anything for... Well, he was on TV last week, but he lost really quickly.
I think it was a couple of weeks ago, yeah. Not sure if it was last week. It might have been the week before.
Yeah. But he hasn't done, you know, like WWE have quite clearly decided you no longer have value to wrestling.
Yeah, that delete thing did not get over. Ergo, go back to wearing the cargo pants.
And that's your fault.
Yeah,
it's not our fault.
Exactly.
And so Matt Hardy is just now generic jobber. He has a name value. It's quite a smart use of someone like that if you're not going to actually push them to any extent. I think that's probably where John Morrison will be in 3 years' time, unfortunately.
They were in Carolina as well. It was in the Matt Hardy country. So, yeah, and it was, you know, Drew cut a promo beforehand saying that, hey, Matt had a kid last week, so congratulations to you. And the kid was cross-eyed, so at least we know you're the dad.
Yeah.
It's a shockingly little heat.
And then he said as well, like, you know, with all your past issues, should you be having another kid? And, like, usually I don't mind stuff like this. But maybe it was because it didn't get any reaction, or maybe it's because WWE have actually reportedly trying to help Jeff Hardy overcome his addiction issues. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, I didn't like this. It made me feel quite cheap and embarrassed.
And also, like, Sheamus is doing the same deal on SmackDown, right?
Mm.
Where it's like, I'm the real man, and you're the people in the soccer room aren't real men. So you can't have the same character on two shows.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Well, yeah, quite.
Especially if they're blonde.
Well,
that's the
You're absolutely the right. When you're right, you're right.
So
Drew won.
But Matt got a brief flurry after the sort of nasty words that Drew said. But
That's the other thing with the squash matches, that they all follow the same pattern. The only one that didn't on this show was the Aleister Black Akira Tozawa match. But all the other squash matches follow the same deal, which is that the person who was taking the pinfall gets a little flurry, and then the person looks strong at the end.
Yeah.
And it's just the same match copy and pasted across the show.
McIntyre just won with a claymore. And yeah, I think it's quite clear Matt Hardy's going to leave in February when it's up. Like, money doesn't seem to be a motivating factor to him. He's even tweeted, I want to give back to the business. You can't do that in WWE.
Yeah.
After that, we got Becky and Charlotte backstage in the locker room. This was filmed earlier in the day, apparently. And Becky said, I don't want your help, Charlotte.
Yeah, because Charlotte said, do you want to be Becky two belts again? As we'll beat the Kabuki Warriors and win the tag team titles. And Becky was like, no, I'm cool, thanks, but I am going to take on the Kabuki Warriors 2-on-1. And it was a segment that would then be followed up on 2 hours later, where it felt like this could have been peppered throughout the show. Because when they did eventually do this, it was suddenly like, oh, damn it, we haven't got a show next week. Oh, well, we better do all of the other segments we have planned for this in the last 20 minutes of this show then.
Yeah, again, it's like that. But that's the problem with Survivor Series. They've had to put all these storylines on hold until the 3-week build for TLC, which is, you know, a week shorter than your usual 4-week rotation anyway. KO's still looking for AOP backstage with a bat. Then we got what I thought, like, I really liked the idea of this, and I really, really liked the match. Viking Raiders come out. I'm like, oh my God, here we go. Here's another squash match. But they say, we're issuing an open challenge for the Raw Tag Team titles. And the Street Profits answer. Immediately, I'm into this. I even thought, oh, there's a chance Street Profits could win here.
Yeah.
Like after a 10-minute match, build to a rematch at the pay-per-view. And Street Profits are so charismatic. Viking Raiders are so good. Unfortunately, just haven't been given a chance to show it to the extent that they did in NXT. And it was a classic Paul Heyman structured match, and it was big move, big move, big move. And just some really fun stuff, particularly from Montez Ford, who did a dual cartwheel spot with
Ivar.
Ivar, yeah.
I enjoyed that stuff. Yeah, it was really, really good. It's a shame that it didn't get more time.
That's it, yeah.
Like, it went 5 minutes, whereas I was looking for this to go much longer, because what it turned into was every other Viking Raider squash match we've basically seen. But when the Street Profits came out, I was like, okay, cool. Well, we'll have good, as you say, 10, 15 minutes here. Really build something out of this. Give it a lot of time. But no, it was just 5 minutes, Raiders won.
And it was completely ineffective for what they wanted to accomplish. And that is get the Street Profits, this rookie team, over in defeat. Like, but I think having the Viking Raiders win was always the right result, whether it be through a 15-minute match or through a heel piece of interference to set up another feud, heaven forbid,
yeah,
for the tag division. But they, like you said, it went 5 minutes. Viking Raiders ultimately beat them pretty easily. And then at the end, they do this sort of like show of respect thing. They're going to do the Viking arm touch.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you haven't earned that.
No.
So, and you've just actually made the Street Profits look not as good as when this match started. And that's the worst thing.
It felt like hashtag 3 week push for the Street Profits.
Then Seth, like, that really, I think, what that segment was for was to get Seth heat for interrupting them.
Yeah.
Seth came out next, and then we had the KO stuff.
Also in this, we got the announcement that Batista is being inducted into the 2020 Hall of Fame.
Mm. Well done. A lot of people say Dana Brooke should induct him.
Yeah, apparently it's going to be Fit Finlay who's going to be doing the introduction. But, you know, hey, it's the Hall of Fame.
So someone said to me, because I said, oh, it'd be good. Yeah, Triple H makes sense as an inductor. And someone said, it should be Fit Finlay because they came up together. I was like, okay, you've read Batista's tweet saying Fit Finlay, and then you've completely invented your own story.
Yeah, because Fit Finlay did not come up in the business with Batista.
Mm. There's about 20 years between those two occurrences.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, Sami Zayn, after the sort of Seth Rollins stuff, Sami Zayn comes out.
Brand split, LOL.
With Mojo Rawley to confront Kevin Owens for slapping Mojo Rawley earlier. And Sami says, at least they addressed it. He goes, I've asked, and now I have a managerial license, which sounds like you can sell alcohol or something,
yeah,
to appear on both brands as a manager.
And so it looks like he is now the manager of Mojo Rawley.
I don't even know if he is, though.
Well, why else were they out there?
To do a thing.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to bet any Wrestle League points, but if that was allowed, I would say this isn't going to lead to anything. And it was just a thing. It was just a spot.
Just a spot. Just a thing to happen. Just a thing to fill time.
Mm. Do you think like Drew last week. Drew had a 5-minute promo against Randy Orton. It was just a thing.
Or do you think it's going to lead to a storyline where Sammy is going to try and find a new person to feud with Kevin Owens on a weekly basis? Like, well, it wasn't Mojo. It'll be No Way Jose next week. It'll be...
But Owens is feuding with Seth.
Well, you know, AJ's feuding with Randy, but so's Drew, apparently.
Okay. Anyway, it's just... I don't mind having Sammy on both shows. I just think it's really... They literally said 2 weeks ago, we're going to get more distinct brands now.
Yeah.
And to just not be able to do that for more... It's less than a 3 week push.
Yeah, this company cannot have split brands. They just physically cannot do it anymore.
Mm. After this, though, we got a really good match. Well,
just to finish up that segment, Mojo, like, they sort of argued back and forth, and Mojo was just like, I'm not scared of Kevin Owens and his pipe. Sammy was trying to calm him down, being like, well, Mojo, like, I know that look in Kevin Owens' eyes. We really do need not want to be poking the bear at this point. And Owens tossed Mojo the bat, confused him, and gave him the stunner and beat him up with the lead pipe afterwards. Gave him some pretty nasty welts.
Yeah, I thought Owens looked really good in this.
That looked great, yeah.
So, yeah, we got Aleister Black versus Akira Tozawa. Black versus Buddy Murphy was announced for TLC before this. I thought this was that this combined with the Buddy Murphy match later against Zack Ryder.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah, it's really, just, really good.
It's nuts and bolts booking. You book two guys really strongly, have them win loads of matches, and then they fight.
Yeah, it was really, really solid stuff. It's a shame that the crowd weren't into it.
Oh, they weren't into it at all.
Embarrassingly quiet. But these two did some really, really good wrestling. It really showed off how good Aleister Black is.
And, that and moment, Tozawa.
And Tozawa. And when that moment when Tozawa did the dive and Black caught him with the jumping knee and then hit the Black mass inside the ring, it made Black look awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, his legs are so skinny. And it's...
Come on, mate. Do some squats.
Do some squats, mate. Yeah. Skipping leg day.
Heard of lateral lunges. I thought this was, for what it's worth, for a 3-4 minute essentially squash match, enhancement match, amazing. Yeah. I don't think you can make it any better. Both guys actually looked better coming out of it. Akira Tozawa took that Black mass like a champ.
Oh, yeah. To the face.
You can see the ripples in his face on his cheek. The only criticism I would say is that Tozawa needs to start winning something.
Otherwise, these wins mean nothing.
Yeah. It's been like 4 weeks of him losing these matches now. Caruso alert. She introduced Humberto Carrillo as one of the most impressive debuts in WWE this year.
Yeah, so 2019 has been a breakout year for Humberto Carrillo.
I mean, compared to 2018, it's more, but he has lost a horrendous amount in singles matches.
But if you include all the 205 Live stuff, I'm sure he's got a very good win-loss record.
Anyway, the interview couldn't continue because of Mexican stuff.
Yeah.
Andrade walked in with Zelina Vega, and they are just yelling at each other.
In Spanish, yeah. Which I thought was really good and really effective. And then because they argued in Spanish, and then they just walked away. And Zelina Vega just goes, tonight?
Yeah.
As if they've just made a match together tonight. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't need a story.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. It makes no sense to say that Carrillo is the breakout star of 2019, but I enjoyed what followed up afterwards.
Maybe Liv Morgan might be the breakout star of 2020, though.
Emelina, this is Vince's dream gimmick, and it's the third time trying. Maybe this time will be the one where it works.
So it was a graphic that just said Liv Morgan, makeover coming soon. Now, So we've had versions of this character. We've had it with Emma into Emelina. We've had it with Eva Marie, and we've had it with Lana. Vince McMahon is obsessed with making an overly sexualized Attitude Era blonde woman character. I am optimistic that that isn't what Liv Morgan's going to get. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping she comes out as just a new character and not that one that we've seen fail many times recently.
I am just really glad that she's not Sister Abigail, which I know a lot of people were fancy booking, but personally, I'm really glad she's not.
After that, we got Carrillo versus Andrade, which was actually a very, very good TV match.
This was excellent.
Yeah.
Really, really good stuff. Again, like the Black Tozawa match, shame the crowd were not into it. They picked up by the end, but man, it was such good action, back and forth. It was really, really great.
It was off of the near fall from Andrade stomping the corner, but then Carrillo dodges the knees, and there was this weird springboard moonsault that didn't really connect, but it still looked cool. But it was like Andrade missed the moonsault, so he always does that spot.
Yeah.
And usually does another flip over to hit another moonsault, but he goes straight into Carrillo with a dropkick.
Loved that.
There were loads of really nice tweaks on usual spots for the wrestlers in this match.
Well, particularly like you say, that moonsault spot where he just landed then ran and hit those double knees in the corner. It was just beautiful, beautiful stuff. And it was back and forth action. Both guys looked really, really great, you know, at the end of it. And then the finish saw Andrade tried to whip Carrillo into Zelina Vega on the outside, but Carrillo stopped himself. But then as Andrade charged, Carrillo dodged, and he knocked Zelina Vega off the apron. She took a heck of a bump for it. And Carrillo hit the O'Connor roll for the win. They really, the commentators put this over as like a major upset.
I wish this happened 4 weeks ago before Carrillo was beaten like a drum for a month. But this is good. This made me think there is still hope for Carrillo and a push. Andrade and Zelina Vega argued a lot after the match. I don't think it's a split up angle.
I hope not.
I just think they were, that Andrade was annoyed that she kind of played into it. That's what I'm hoping, because they cannot break up.
I do not want to see that act break up. Also, if you're Carrillo, why are you not upset that, you know, you didn't get your United States Championship shot that you were supposed to have had a couple of weeks ago?
I don't know. Rey Mysterio, because it's on a baby face now and that dynamic doesn't work. Rey Mysterio, speaking of, says he'll beat AJ Styles later because he's proven he's worthy. KO still looking for AOP. Then we got the Buddy Murphy Zack Ryder match, mm-hmm. which was, you know, not as good technically as the Tozawa Black match, but it did what it needed to do. It was Murphy dominating Zack Ryder.
Yeah, totally. Hit the Murphy's Law for the win. We got no reaction like the other matches, but hey, man, looks solid.
Then we got the KO AOP Seth Rollins reveal backstage. Yes, that did come at this point in the show.
Yep.
Just ridiculous. It's a main event worthy angle.
That should have been the end of the show.
But then we got the sort of rerun of Charlotte's match, the 2-on-1 handicap match from the previous week. So it's Becky Lynch going up against Asuka and Kairi Sane.
And it was the same as what they did last week, which is that Kabuki Warriors look a bit rubbish because they cannot beat one person 2-on-1. Struggle to do so. I thought this was better booked than it was last week because at least they were dominating for a large portion of the match, whereas last week it was Charlotte was on top for the entire match. But at the end of it, the Kabuki Warriors still had to cheat, and they hit Becky Lynch with a chair to get a DQ. So that was a bit lame.
I actually enjoyed last week's match a lot more.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought that maybe it's just because Law of Diminishing Returns.
Maybe,
I'd seen this match. I knew how it was going to go. I think a better thing to have done to get around all the awkwardness would just be to have Asuka and Kairi Sane do the DQ immediately.
Yeah.
Charlotte runs down, and that's how you set up the tag match.
I was waiting for Charlotte to run down at some point, either during the match or particularly during the post-match beatdown, because they hit Becky Lynch with a chair. Then they get a table, and Kairi Sane hits this wonderful, insane elbow from the top rope to the floor. And as I'm watching this, I'm like, where's Flair? Granted, Lynch just stood right back up and she was fine. But no selling it, like, you know, learning from Seth. So that was a bit of a disappointment. But I was like, where is Charlotte?
Well, should we do the rest of the segments now?
Well, they rapidly happened.
Yeah, because they were like, here's a match. Here's another Becky Charlotte thing. Here's an interview. Here's another Becky Charlotte thing. So after that, Becky's being seen to in the trainer's room. Charlotte comes in and goes, good match. So it's sort of this frenemy relationship. And then the Kabuki Warriors jump Charlotte outside with a chair.
Yeah. And then after another match, Caruso interviewed the Kabuki Warriors, where they challenged Lynch and Flair to challenge them for the titles. Then we got an ad break.
Also, can I just add in Charlie's line about, I need to learn another language.
Yeah.
Because you've got Japanese speaking heels, AOP in their languages. And was there another one on
the
show?
Well, it was the Carrillo and Umberto chatting each other in Spanish.
So I got a kick out of that. That was funny.
I thought it was good. And then we had an ad break. And then we came back to Flair and Lynch both being looked at by doctors where they're not looking at each other. And Charlotte's like, we're going to accept that match. And Lynch goes, tables, ladders, chairs.
I didn't mind it, actually. I thought it gave off the vibe of two action movie heroes who don't want to work together, but they're sitting down and they're like, let's do this one last time. I hate you. I hate you too. Let's do this.
It just, like, this has been a rushed story. Well, that's the problem with it, really. It's they did 3 weeks worth of angles in this, you know, 20-minute period.
And in the middle of all this, we got a really good OC promo. AJ Styles talking about Rey Mysterio.
And did I miss here? But did AJ say that the OC are going to be challenging Viking Raiders for the tag titles at TLC?
That is one of the rumouredly planned matches. Yeah. I didn't pick up on it.
I don't know. It's not on WWE.com, but I thought that's what AJ said in this promo.
But they make a nice Bullet Club reference at the end where he says, yeah. If Randy Orton tries to interfere, I'll end his career for life. And then it went right into the NWO Hall of Fame announcement, which I thought was nice.
Yeah.
Smart.
And it's a funny New World Order class that, they're,
talked
they're,
about this, have
that
we?
They're putting in. It's so it's the original trilogy of Hogan, Nash, and Hall, and then the sixth member of the group, Sean Waltman.
Yeah.
Just really, really weird to do 1, 2, 3, and 6.
So, of course, you've got the missing numbers there are the Giant, which is Big Show, and the Million Dollar Man.
Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, it's so weird. Because when you think of the NWO, I think of Hogan, Nash, Hall. Brilliant. I think it should just be them, to be honest.
I completely agree, but they like Waltman.
Yeah.
So they're putting him in this.
If you had to add another member in, the Giant.
Yeah.
That's where my mind would go next. But yeah, I think that obviously...
Or Dennis Rodman.
Yeah. Sean is a... You know, went in last year with DX. I think they want to do the first ever back-to-back Hall of Famer and do it that way. He's obviously in with the company because he does the watch-along stuff on pre-shows. So yeah, well...
Crapping on the Hell in a Cell finish.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, it's the WWE Hall of Fame and it really doesn't matter.
I really liked the video package and they had loads of shots of the NWO and that they could not find a shot of just Hogan, Hall and Nash and Waltman.
Yeah.
It was like they were just cutting everything. So then in between, we got another Eric Rowan versus Jobber match.
Yep.
I get, at least there was a new element to this, which is where the Jobber Tactics thought, I'm going to steal Rowan's pet carrier, run it to the top of the ramp, run back down and try for the count out win.
Yeah, and it nearly worked. But then Rowan freaked out. He kept shouting, like, what were you thinking? Gave him 3 Iron Claw slams and the referee called off the match.
Not into this gimmick still. I think it's going to, it's undone all the genuinely good work SmackDown did over the summer on Rowan's push. But at least this was a good, the best version of what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And then we got, before that, we got a SNL parody.
Yeah, Monday after the weekend news updates. Yeah. It was the Street Profits doing an SNL thing where they were kind of like, they were basically there to promote TLC and tell you, here are the matches that are happening. And they had some jokes in there. Not very funny jokes, but they had jokes. Yeah, that was about it. They just recap the matches that are happening.
The joke quality was pretty much of the level. Asuka hit the green mist. Has she eaten Baby Yoda or something?
Yeah.
So, relevant pop culture thing. Kind of like SNL. But the it didn't work for me just because they had canned laughter.
I was about to say, the canned laughter, I mean, they had to have canned laughter in it because the audience were not going to be laughing along with it. But the canned laughter really, really didn't help.
I disagree. I think the Street Profits, you can give them bad material. They're so charismatic. I get a kick out of it anyway. Their backstage stuff, it's not very similar. It's not dissimilar from what they were doing before. But, and I found that really...
That was great,
affable. But this just was quite obnoxious. It felt like it was a Firefly Funhouse episode at some times with the...
Yeah.
I didn't think it worked. It was overproduced.
But they announced in this, and I think this was announced on SmackDown as well, that Roman versus King Corbin is going to be a table, ladders, and chairs match.
That's been for a while, I think.
Well, the match was only announced on SmackDown.
Oh, I thought TLC... Oh.
No, as of the before SmackDown, there were no matches announced for TLC. It was part of my news on Friday, and that was why our weekend video was called that.
Mm.
But it was... I don't know why it's a TLC. What are you hanging above the ring?
Well, dog food.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Or Roman himself. They had him handcuffed up there.
Because the original gimmick stipulation that WWE had told the arena was that it was going to be a dog collar match, which makes way more sense than a TLC match.
Sense left the station a long time ago here. But the main event was a terrific bout until the end, unfortunately. But it was a very complicated spot. Yeah. I can't blame them too much. And that was AJ Styles versus Rey Mysterio for the United States title. They got about 10 minutes. The crowd were pretty dead, but they were so good.
Yeah.
They got the crowd into it. Dropkick midair from AJ onto Rey. a Ray sunset flip powerbomb through the ropes outside on AJ onto the barricade.
Loved it. It was so good.
Innovative. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, and I loved Gallows jumping onto AJ to block the 619. That was really nice stuff in there.
It was great stuff. Unfortunately, their ambition got the better of them. And I bet 9 times out of 10 they can do this.
Yeah.
The finish was AJ's on the second rope because he was sitting on the top, and Ray gets up there. Ray's going to hit a Hurricane Rana on him, but AJ would catch him and then hit a second rope Styles Clash.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Great idea. But Ray's momentum kind of stumbled them both forward. They awkwardly fell off the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
Ray's pants split.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. And... But quick as a whip, AJ was like, powerbomb, Styles Clash. And then, Randy Orton's spot was now already mistimed. So Randy Orton, famed for his out of nowhere things, which probably requires a lot of timing preparation,
mm-hmm.
it now no longer had that. So Randy Orton awkwardly slides into the ring. AJ doesn't know where to look because everything's off. He looks at Randy. Randy just winks, slides back out. Rey Mysterio rolls him up for the win.
Yeah.
And that, like, some broadcasts didn't even have that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it cut out just before the pin.
Wow. Yeah, it was, like, to the wire.
Yeah, the logo, the copyright logo, was appearing just before Mysterio rolled him up.
Yeah.
And the broadcast I saw cut off with Vic Joseph going, and he's retained the
Yeah, the United States.
Yeah. Good point. Mid-cards. Okay. I've got mid-carder blindness. So, yeah, it's unfortunate that happened, but it was a complicated spot. It's weird, though, like, what were they trying to do? I think
that's what you just said then. I think they were going to do the second rope Styles Clash. Randy would get in to distract AJ, and then Ray would roll him up off the back of it.
Ray would really roll up AJ... after an Avalanche Styles Clash.
You just said yourself, Sense left this station a long time ago.
That's the thing that, and that's why, and I read someone say this on Reddit, and I thought that's a really interesting observation, that AJ could have just hit a Styles Clash, but he knew the spot was meant to be an Avalanche Styles Clash. So a normal Styles Clash wouldn't suffice. Powerbomb right into Styles mm-hmm. Clash. I don't know. Or maybe it's just an easier transition.
I thought it was just an easier transition.
But overall, a very lackluster show. That was the main event angle. What does that build for TLC?
Yeah, nothing, because Ray hasn't got a match at TLC as of now.
AJ and Orton don't have a match together.
Well, they'll announce it on Twitter.
The show that should have been in the middle of the show. They should have announced AJ versus Randy, and then the end of the show should have been Seth revealing himself.
Yeah,
and I'll see you at TLC for, I don't know, you have to find a mystery tag partner to face AOP.
Yeah.
It's not hard. Right. So now let's see what super chats we have left. Baggy says, did Rollins steal Balor's gimmick? Because Finn Balor said if he was to create a Bullet Club out of anyone else, it would be AOP.
Really?
Mm.
Huh. I thought it just meant that they're both wearing leather jackets now.
That as well.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what has irked me a bit about this pairing. I don't see AOP and Seth as a natural fit.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll prove me wrong, though.
Maybe. Marcus Roman says, I enjoyed Umberto versus Andrade match the most. I still have so much hope if WWE gives the Latinos a push and prove Vince wrong.
Well, Paul Heyman's got the book, and that's sort of one of his great strengths is showcasing lucha matches and mm-hmm. Mexican talent.
Nate Drop Surname says, are we supposed to buy that Kabuki Warriors can win after they barely beat each of them 2-on-1 unless Charlotte and Becky collapse and feud again? Ugh.
I know. And I think that is one of the big annoyances of this. And that is, it's not, at the end of the day, it's not making me want to see a match.
No.
Like, there is a way to book this feud where I'm really, really into this kind of dream match of Charlotte and Becky versus Asuka and Kairi Sane. Three of those women main evented last year's TLC.
Yeah, that's true.
And now
yeah.
you add in Kairi Sane. That's a great story.
Could have done a lot around that. Mm. A lot around that, but... they choose not to. Timonsu Maki says, I hope they don't botch Liv. I like her. She's a really cool person from what I've seen in her appearances on Up, Up, Down, Down.
Yeah, she's got a huge groundswell of fan support.
Fans really like Liv, yeah.
I've never really seen... what I mean, if you ask me, I'm more of a Sarah Logan guy.
I think Sarah Logan's great, yeah.
Because just off that sort of women's battle royal at WrestleMania and just all the stuff she hasn't done since.
Yeah.
Liv Morgan must... like, I think the fandom does come from her appearances on other shows.
Yeah, totally.
She's gotten herself over outside of WWE, which traditionally doesn't go too well. When you end up getting the push. So general WWE related from Sparks, I can see WrestleMania being Rusev Day.
Well, I mean, if he's going to stick around. But yeah, I mean, do you think he could push Rusev, Brock Lesnar?
I mean, maybe that's what will get him to re-sign. But funny enough, Bobby Lashley was always promised that Lesnar
that's
match.
That's right, he was, yeah.
Don't see that happening.
And they said that Roman's the favourite to win the Rumble, right?
Yeah.
So Rusev's got to find another way to get into that Lesnar match.
Tim Arndt, the crowd will ruin next year's Rumble if CM Punk isn't in it. Change my mind.
Yeah, I wonder if there's going to be another Daniel Bryan situation where Rey Mysterio comes out at number 30 and you're like, you're not Daniel Bryan. Yeah. Boo.
I think you the way to get around it is just to announce the number 30 entrant in advance.
Yeah.
And have them win a match on Raw to decide who that's going to be. Was it Baron this year?
Yes, I'm going
to
say
I think he won a match to do that, and that was known going in. And that's a smart move, so you don't have the expectation built up.
Yeah.
Unless it is CM Punk.
Well, yeah.
Sparks, when was the last time Hardy had a pinfall win?
Probably when he was tag champs with Wyatt, yeah? Like when he was, because they got injured and then was out for a long time. So it must be from the
June last year,
the Leaders of Worlds, yeah.
NXT related, nothing there. Bah, 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 bah.
Well, Nate Drop Surname says swivel chairs are as cool as e-scooters.
Hey, I like my swivel chair.
All Elite DK said, I miss these super chats. Akim of AOP speaks in Punjabi.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And but it's not, both of them don't speak in Punjabi. There's another.
No, it's the other one. Well. I can't remember what the other one is though. And Eric says, please stop pronouncing Andrade like that, Ollie. You're going to give me a stroke.
I don't know where it comes from. Andrade. Mm. I don't know why my tongue does that. Like I'm doing an impression of a Spanish accent.
Yeah.
Andrade. I'll try for you, Eric. I'll try and stop that from happening.
That was obviously a reference to some chap on YouTube who is.
There's been an hour of time,
and
since
people will
we
have remembered
that.
It. People will have just remembered it. Let's be honest. There are people who don't actually want to hear us review Raw and SmackDown. They just want to skip through to these bits.
Us shooting on different wrestling YouTube personalities.
I mean, this is really like this is the best bit of content that we make.
You want me to shoot on other wrestling YouTuber personalities?
I'm not asking you to shoot on them. I
think Tom Campbell's a really nice guy.
Oh, he's such a lovely guy.
I think Adam Pacitti is underrated as a handsome face.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, there's something about his face that I like. It's not weird,
Tom Campbell,
it?
In particular, is a very, very nice chap. I was DMing him the other day. And he was just wishing me to get better and stuff. He's just a very, very nice guy.
Mm.
I've got this email here from Matt, who says, hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, Chopper Pete, and Dave, just Dave. Yesterday, I'd commented on Lana's tweet about being horrified that Rusev broke the law at Starrcade. So I replied with a gif of Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, shut up, from the film Kindergarten Cop. She shortly afterwards followed me.
Wow.
Just went to see how long it takes me now for her to block me. As much as the story annoys me, it's quite exciting when a wrestler or celebrity follows you back. Have you ever had a similar situation? Thank you for the consistency.
No. I don't think I've ever had. I don't really check my notifications on Twitter. We all know that. But and unless I'm missing something, I've never been followed by a high-profile wrestling Twitter account.
No.
So I don't know what that feels like. Although I was featured incredibly heavily on CM Punk's return video package on WWE Backstage. So that felt pretty swell.
But did you get any followers off the back of it?
No.
Did we get any subscribers off the back of it?
No.
This came in from James as well, who you may remember as Captain Canada. So if anything Canadian has to be referenced, James is here, who says, hey, Luke, pubs, like Ollie described, are very popular in Canada. My family often goes to a pub here called the Canadian Brew House. They allow families until 8 p.m. Canada is far more like England than the U.S. Take care, James.
Ah, well, that's good. don't really know what to add. But that is, pubs is a sort of place where families go to hang out. That's interesting because I don't know where that tradition comes from, because it's not even really an English tradition. That only sort of became a thing in the 80s, as far as my father's told me, because Margaret Thatcher banned, like, I don't know. Now I'm saying this out loud.
Yeah.
I really should have fact-checked what my dad told me. Can we get that? We're like,
yeah, all right, Laura Kunzberg.
Yeah, yeah. Where I'm just saying stuff that my dad's told me, and I don't think that's right at all.
No.
Oh, this is a bit of an existential crisis. Yeah, because, like, we have popular soaps, Coronation Street, that have been around since the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Late 50s?
Late 50s, as I said, Coronation Street. Longest-running episodic TV show.
That doesn't involve wrestling.
Yeah.
They all hung out in pubs,
mm-hmm,
as like a social thing with families. So, yeah.
Right, well, we've got a Rusev Hey that Jaron...
Rusev Hey!
Jaron Walker has sent in around someone who's been in the news quite a lot recently.
Ooh.
He says, hey guys, welcome back, Luke. This was obviously sent just after I returned from Japan. He said, this is an ironic one. Small backstory, I live in New York and I have a friend named Isaac who has been hired multiple times by wrestling promotions in NYC for his designing/editing skills. He makes the graphics for match cards, promo packages, etc. He's brought me to a few wrestling shows for free, including House of Glory, where I got to see SoCal Val this past weekend.
Hey!
Anyway, in the summer of 2017, he brought me to an Evolve show where the main event was Keith Lee versus Matt Riddle. Good match, mate.
Yeah, that was one of those classic matches that would tour.
Yeah.
It was Keith Lee, Matt Riddle, Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
Can you think of any?
Lee Dijak.
Lee Dijak, of course, yeah.
A lot
of stuff with, I've forgotten his name, Samoan guy. Lots of German suplexes. Jeff Cobb.
Oh, right, yeah,
Jeff Cobb.
Was
sort of part of that quadruple of people.
Anyway, Jaron continues, there was a developmental brand that had a show before the main event started. A bunch of wrestlers came into the lounge area that Isaac and I were in to watch the rookies perform, including ACH, who sat right next to me. Now, while this may be exciting, I had no idea who he was, I'll be honest. I'm not too familiar with the independent scene and only knew the most popular guys. Isaac whispered to me that was ACH, and that was a pretty big deal. Later in the show, Isaac asked me if I wanted to do commentary with him for one of the matches. I felt weird because I wasn't official commentary, but commentary that he intended to submit to the owner of the promotion to try and get himself over. He pulled out two microphones and a laptop, and I got really uncomfortable because all these wrestlers who were just there wanting to watch the show were around us, but Isaac insisted that we yell into a microphone and disrupt their viewing.
Isaac.
Yeah, this sounds like a terrible idea.
Read the room.
Yeah. I was too scared to say anything while the match we were commenting on was happening, because every time Isaac would talk, we would get dirty looks from the wrestlers in the lounge. The match we commented on involved a African-American wrestler whose gimmick was that he was all-American. He ended up winning the match, and Isaac said, I think we can all agree that man is a great symbol of America. And I responded with one of the only things I said during the entire match, which was, unless your name is Hulk Hogan.
Well, yep, that works. There's some charged tones there. There's context, unfortunately.
When I say everyone in the lounge turned around to look at me, I mean everyone. Oh. Everyone, including ACH, who looked right at me and started laughing his ass off. He gave me one of those hand-on-the-shoulder laughs. I swear on my life, had tears rolling down his eyes from laughter. Felt proud that I made a wrestler smile. And conveniently, 2 years later, went to Canada to see him win the NXT Breakout Tournament. Yeah. I always wondered why that joke was so funny to specifically him, and I think it's safe to say we now know why. Cheers, guys. Luke's head is the best. Jaron Walker.
Do you want to read that last bit again?
Hey, that's what he says. It's his words, man, not mine.
Luke's head is the best.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's written on the toilet walls here. I've never understood it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'm not one to brag. I'm just reading what the email says.
At that moment, Simon and Pete just walked in the room.
Oh, dear. All right. Do we want to get out of here so we can set some stuff up, or do you want any more emails?
We can do it. Let's just do one quick email.
Okay, well, let's have some last bits
I'm
of
sure
fun.
All this complicated equipment we need to set up can be done in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, last point of call is just on some more Super Chat feedback.
Oh, yes.
Matthew Perry said, just a quick email to say that I was never a fan of the Super Chats. Feel like removing them was a good choice, as it streamlines the podcast, really made it easier to get through all the weekly content. Well, hopefully that is going to be fixed with the new format that we're
doing. Yeah. Half and half.
And Christiana emailed in to say, "Hi, I'm a $5 pledge hammer. My name is Christiana. I'm Chris Petrow's wife."
Oh, wow.
"I'm just dropping you a note to say that I really appreciate the lack of Super Chats. Felt they weighed down at the WrestleTalk Live episodes."
Could have done with these messages last week.
Well, we did get these emails last week, but you just chose to ignore them. But that is all we've got time for on this edition of WrestleTalk Live. We'll be back on Thursday with the AEW review and the NXT review. Then Ollie and I will do the magazine show on the Friday, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
We're also going to have TLC predictions because, in case you've forgotten, it is TLC this Sunday.
Oh, my God. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah, you and I are working this Sunday. Yep, and then we'll be doing TLC stuff all next week. But until then, take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.